If you have your Bibles, which I'm sure we do, we're going to start probably in the book of Matthew. So let's head there into the New Testament. Most recently, I was just reading through my Bible and my devotions and got to Revelation, and I thought, I don't want to read the dictionary and the maps. I got to start somewhere again. I just really felt called back to the New Testament. And so I've just been journeying through the New Testament here. So I'm only in the book of Matthew. And this message came out, and I just really wanted to share it with you. And you're here this morning, and I want you to know that it's challenged me in my walk and my faith and where I'm at in life. And so it might be a strong message, but I hope it challenges you as well, because I feel really challenged at the core of my being. If we look at this, Matthew chapter 5, it's really the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. It's just a sermon that Jesus preached that went over many different topics and covered a lot of bases. And for you and I, it's like, wow, we're trying to follow that and be like Christ and be obedient to his word. And so we see the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is on the scene. Jesus is teaching it. I want to just look at the very beginning of it for a second. And it's almost slam dunk right in the middle. There's about 9 different topics, and then prayer. And then there's 8 different topics, and then it ends. And so it's almost right in the middle. God is like halfway through his teaching. He's like, we need to just stop and pray because that was heavy. You know, I got to teach you how to pray. I think it's super important. So we'll look at the beginning, the middle, and then quickly at the end. And then what does that point to when we think about Jesus in the New Testament? There's such a reference to the Old Testament because every story you find here, we'll go and find it in the Old Testament. It'll be a lot of fun. And then at the end of it, we'll see Jesus. We'll see God in the Old Testament, God the Father. And then you and I live somewhere. We live right now. We live between the, you know, Matthews and we live, you know, but there's Revelation. So you and I today, we live somewhere right in there. Like Revelation hasn't happened yet, but where do we live in it? And how do we take away from the message? Where do we take away from Scripture? So man, I'm excited about this message, right? The book of Matthew, what a great guy. You know, he presents Jesus as a Jewish Messiah because he wanted to make sure that the people really understood the Old Testament because a lot of scholars and scribes and Sadducees and Pharisees, they knew the Old Testament, so he wanted to make sure that there was a reference to that. 20 prophetic utterances, 20 scriptures that are referred to in the Old Testament. Matthew's like, I just want to remind you. I'm going to quote Old Testament, so just look at a few of them really quick. If you're taking notes, you got to write fast. Chapter 8 of Matthew would say something like this. Jesus took up our infirmities and bore our diseases. He's quoting Isaiah 53. In chapter 12, Jesus was chosen servant of God in whom the nations would put their hope. He's quoting Isaiah 42. In chapter 13, Jesus would speak to the people in parables. He's quoting Psalm 78. In chapter 21, Jesus entered Jerusalem riding on a donkey. That's quoting Zechariah chapter 9. In chapter 21 as well, it says, the stone the builders rejected, Jesus has become the cornerstone of the capstone in Jesus' name. And that's quoting Psalm 118. And in chapter 26 of Matthew, Jesus is predicting his disciples' response to his betrayal. Again, that's Zechariah chapter 13. When Jesus is on trial before the religious leaders, that's Psalm 110 or Daniel 7. The priest used the 30 pieces of silver to buy the potter's field in chapter 27. That's quoting Zechariah chapter 11. It's just prophetic. There's no way that any person could ever do something like this. Like, Jesus is the Messiah. The Jews needed to hear that. I want you to know something. I want to plant a little seed in your mind. I've talked about this before. And I'm praying in Jesus' name they don't cancel or something doesn't change. In the new year, in April 11th, it's a Friday night. We're going to have somebody that's coming from the Jewish nation. They're going to speak on Jews for Jesus is called their ministry. They're going to put on the Jewish Passover meal for us. You got to buy a ticket for that in the fireside room. You'll sit down with it. And he will explain every part of the Jewish meal to us, how it points to Christ. Because lots of Jews believe Jesus hasn't even come yet the first time. And so I love that ministry. I'm really excited about that day. Let's move on, though, because we got to keep going with the message. Chapter 5 of Matthew. So we're starting with the Beatitudes. Hey, I heard that the youth the other day were preaching on some of this. I might be mistaken, but I think it is. So it's totally the Lord just saying, you better preach on this. So here we go. Matthew chapter 5, verse 1 says, when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him and began to teach them. And this is so important for us to understand again, here in the New Testament, the people were able to go up the mountain with Jesus, the Son of God, and listen to his teaching. If we think back into the Old Testament, Moses is a type and shadow and example to us. We'll look at this in a little bit. He was the only one that went up the mountain, and everybody else was freaked out and afraid. God in the New Testament comes down in the form of a physical human body, Jesus. He invites us to hear from his mouth, his commandments. Man, I want to listen. I want to be obedient to that. God does so much. We're going to look at that. Verse 3 says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." He just begins to teach us. "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." Nobody's talking this way. Everyone's just talking about rules and regulations and do's and don'ts. But listen to Jesus' message. "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will show mercy. Blessed are the poor in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." If you ever feel some tension because you're a Christian, praise God. "Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil things against you." We're blessed when that happens. "Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets, who were before you. So Jesus taught his followers that God loves everybody. He loves us all. There's nothing that you could do that would take away the love of Christ for you. There's nothing that you could turn your back on or say or stop doing. And his people should, we should in turn, love people as well. This means forgiving people, just as God wants to forgive us. It's so important to understand that. Let's look at, okay, so that was the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. We're just moving now to the middle part I was talking about on prayer. Jesus teaches us how to pray. Matthew 6, verse 5. "And when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray," when you and I pray, "go into our room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." We shouldn't do things in secret, but, you know, in this case, that's okay, biblically. "And when you pray, don't keep babbling on like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Don't be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you even ask. This is how then you should pray. Our Father," we know this by heart, "hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, O God, and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." That's usually where we stop. But there's a part here that a practical application right here. I want to stop, and we're going to do it together. Verse 14 and 15. "For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." Yes. "If not," verse 15, "if you don't forgive men their sins, your Father won't forgive your sins either." Whoa. When we look at the Sermon on the Mount and every subheading like this, prayer, oaths, murder, I'm just picking them out here, fasting, treasures in heaven, salt and light, every topic there has an application and a challenge for us. So the application in the prayer here, right in the center of it, is we have to forgive people. And if you choose not to, it says very clearly God won't forgive you. Whoa, man. I'm like, okay, the first thing's a challenge. You're like, well, you know, I should probably do this. It's probably a good idea. The second thing is like, God's not going to forgive me? That's serious business. Like, I need to take that to heart. There's a challenge here for me today. So right now, we're going to pause the sermon for a second. I don't know who it is. I don't know the situation. I don't know why, when, how. I really believe Holy Spirit will speak to you, this person, this situation, And maybe it's just a forgiveness in your heart, and you move on. Maybe there's things that you're like, I actually cannot actually physically, I mean, there's even a restraining order. I can't even go talk to that person, but I have to forgive them. Maybe it's just something simple. Maybe it's a spouse, a neighbor, somebody, you know, that person throwing, you know, they got their snowblower out and it's all blowing in your yard. You know, like, you got to forgive that guy too. You know, it's just, you know, you should say something to him anyways, but anyway. That's the salt and light part. So we got to forgive somebody. Okay. So let's just allow that to happen right now. So Father, in Jesus' name, whoever that person is, whatever that situation is, right now I ask you to help me to forgive that person in that situation. I leave it at the foot of the cross in Jesus' name. I'm not designed to carry that. I'm not supposed to keep wrestling with that. I have to give it to you. I want to give it to you, and I give it to you right now. And God, I'm so thankful for your word. It says now forgiveness will come. And so everything that we've done wrong, you said that you will forgive. So there is this lightness, this heaviness that's being lifted off us now scripturally because we're doing what you've asked us to do. We forgive people, so you forgive us. Thank you for forgiving us. Thank you for showing us grace and mercy, even though we don't deserve it. Lord, we receive that forgiveness right now. We need to receive wholeness and life again in Jesus' name. I've lost my joy and my happiness. Would it be restored to me in Jesus' name? Thank you, God. Amen, amen. Oh, when Scripture speaks, you got to be obedient to it. When you're reading it and it says do something, then just do it. Don't think about it. Okay, so we saw at the beginning, the Beatitudes. We saw smack dab in the middle there, what to do, how to pray. And then at the very end, there's a conclusion part here about the Sermon on the Mount. It's excellent. So let's look at it together. So following all that teaching, Jesus talks about, and he uses the word therefore. Just want to wrap up the whole conversation with a therefore. Here we go. Matthew 7, verse 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man. I like to be wise. I don't want to be a fool. Who builds his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall because its foundation was on the rock. There's a couple people in this room recently who have a house near a creek or a lake, and that water was rising at some point, and you're on your knees. You actually was praying, oh God, no, not another inch, not another, you know, it needs to start going down because we don't want it to kind of, and so it got our attention, right? And so what kind of house were we built on? We were worried about if the floods came and the water came, how would our house respond? It's the same with our lives. When stresses and worries come, are we built on a good foundation so that we can stand and that we can respond to that? That's what it's saying. Verse 26, but everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice, it's like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. Man, I was foolish for so many years. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the wind blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. All my life fell so many times without Christ. When Jesus finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching because he taught as one who had authority and not as the teachers of the law, not just beating your head over with rules. That's not going to actually change you, but there's authority in Christ. There's the authority in Jesus. There's authority in his word if we follow it, if we're obedient to it. It brings life to us. It brings change to us. And the hearers, this is like the first time somebody was talking about it. Like if you follow me, there will actually be a radical transformation in your life in Jesus' name. Versus like, you better listen and you better give and you better try, you better serve, you better bow down, you better wear this, you better do that. Like, there was no life in there. There was no joy in that. It was just like, oh my gosh, please don't sin. Please don't mess up your whole life. Oh, you're scared all the time. And then Jesus shows up and said, if you follow me, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. And I'm going to give you peace. And I'm going to give you joy. Whoa, that's a great message. Like, whoa, I love that message. Bring it on. And so people were listening. They were obedient to that. So when we hear that out of Jesus' mouth there, we are reminded again, Old Testament. Let's go back there, Exodus, second book there, Exodus chapter 20. The story of God's people. He brings out. So let me just give a bit of a snapshot there in Exodus. The Israelites' journey So God's people went through a desert. They were in bondage and slavery, and God set them free. They came to this large mountain called Mount Sinai. It wasn't an ordinary mountain. It kind of almost stood out. I remember when I lived in Yukon, and I was in Whitehorse, and I drove into Alaska, and the tallest peak on North America, Mount Denali, and I drove in there, and all along the way, I was like, oh, it's got to be that mountain. Oh, it's got to be that. They're all massive, and you turn a corner, oh, my word, there's this monstrosity mountain, the tallest peak in North America. This would be similar. They're just kind of cruising along, the Israelites, and all of a sudden, they come to Mount Sinai, and it's like, whoa. There's something about them, that mountain. That mountain's different. As they approached, people saw that the top of the mountain was on fire. Like, you would take notice of that. With thick clouds around it, swirling around. As they got closer, they heard, thunder, lightning. People were terrified. And they heard this lightning. And God said to Moses, why don't you come up the mountain and meet me here? And so Moses went up the mountain. The people watched in amazement as Moses went up. And at some point, he just disappeared. He was up the mountaintop, hanging out with God. And God begins to speak to Moses. And we see in Exodus chapter 20, his 10 commandments, we see here, number one, no other gods, no idols. Don't take the Lord's name in vain. Keep the Sabbath. Brilliant. Number four, honor your mother and father. Praise Jesus. Don't murder. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't bear false witness. Don't covet. Moses goes up again as an example in the Old Testament, like Jesus went up for us. And we were so afraid. Sometimes we come to God, we come to church, we come to our sin. We think we're afraid. We've let God down for some reason. So we don't want to go near. And so we see here in the Old Testament, watch what happens to these people in the Old Testament. And I put myself in this story. Exodus chapter 20, verse 18. When the people saw the thunder and lightning and heard the trumpet and saw the mountain and smoke, they trembled with fear. They stayed at a distance. If you remember some of these stories as well, it would say, if somebody even touches the mountain, they should be killed. Or an animal touches the mountain, you should kill the animal. Like, that sounds intense. And said to Moses, speak to us yourself and we will listen. Don't have God speak to us or we will die. Verse 20, Moses said to the people, don't be afraid. God has come to test you so that the healthy fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning. The people remained at a distance while Moses approached the thick darkness where God was. I don't want to go near that. I don't want to go near that God. That's an Old Testament example. Let me connect some dots for us now. So if we think about God the Father in the Old Testament, we can read off, we think, wow, that's a harsh guy. There's some pretty difficult things to read. God the Father sees us. He speaks to us how to live. He gives us some guidelines. Then move to the New Testament. We see Jesus show up on the scene. Jesus says, I have some guidelines. I want to give you some advice, give you some direction. Why don't you come up the mountain with me? People were ready to listen at that point. They were like, I want to hear what he has to say. So they were willing to listen. Now you and I live in a time where God the Father is up in heaven. Jesus is at his right hand. You and I live in a time where Holy Spirit is here. And so what's the Holy Spirit saying to us? How do we connect with the Holy Spirit? How does he lead and guide our lives? And what is he saying? I feel like we're not afraid, honestly. I feel like we're kind of like, I can't see God. I know that there are some guidelines for me to live my life. But because Jesus has come and died and he's kind of, God's withholding his judgment on us as Holy Spirit's here, and we'll be judged at the last day. But I feel like it's kind of easy. It's a little bit a free-for-all. We could kind of like just, oh, it's okay, just live my life and not really feel some accountability. But I want you to understand something really, really clearly here. If we think about the Bible as an overarching theme here, we go back to the garden. God put us in a garden. He was with us, and we would all do it, eat that fruit. We all broke his rules. God, in all of his wisdom, shows up on the mountainside, sets all of his people free from captivity and bondage and slavery. I've been in captivity, bondage, and slavery. And God shows up and he speaks to us. And we foolishly don't listen. And then we look through all the Old Testament here. All these prophets came along and we foolishly didn't listen to them as well. We killed them. We disobeyed him. God sends his son, Jesus, to the earth. And he speaks to us, as we've just been reading, on the Sermon on the Mount. He says, this is the way. Come to me. Come to me. And again, we break his laws. We break his rules. We don't follow his ways. And then we see us today. So where are we at today? Where does that allow us to be? Are we allowing the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us? I'm challenged by this thought. I told you in the beginning, I said, that's going to be a challenging message. It's going to be hard to hear. But as a church, we're thinking about 2025, all these ideas and plans. And I'm thinking, like, it looks great on paper. But is it what is God is up to? Is it what God is doing? Because I want to be a part of that. I don't want to be a part of a good organization or a structure or the system. I want to be Spirit-led. The Holy Spirit's here. I'm supposed to be obedient. I'm supposed to follow that. And so if that's the truth, if that's what I need to receive, I want to be almost convicted. I want to be challenged by that. And I'm challenged to the moon and back right now. I can't even flesh out the things that I'm feeling and the excitement I'm feeling and the direction that I feel like we're going in. I want to use two stories here real quick. I wasn't sure if we're going to share this one, but we'll do it anyways. Okay, so I got a picture of me in Whitehorse. It may have been why I had to move here, because they may have let me go because of something like this. I'm joking with them. I'm having fun with you. I was a youth pastor, you know, be gentle. It was only my second year, be gentle, right? Okay, so this is actually, I'm in the sanctuary in that photo. Just want to clarify that for a second. Like, what can go wrong here? I've got my safety glasses on. I've got, I pulled out all the ink out of the old photocopier that they used to call Lucifer, because when you hit print to something, it just, I mean, somebody halfway around the world was like, who's all printing all this stuff, right? And so it just didn't print to our printer, so we took it outside. We thought we better have some fun with it. So safety glasses on, ink's out. We moved some chairs around in the sanctuary so that if you're in the inner circle with a sledgehammer, there's chairs around. Look, no one's going to get hurt. This is going to be awesome, right? Like, what can go wrong? Okay. In the sanctuary. So the third person gets up and swings at this thing. They completely missed the thing. Like, I'm like, how did you miss? Like, ripped a huge hole in the carpet in the sanctuary at the altar. It's like, oh my gosh. Like, I need to go back to Walmart. I need to find another job. How? Like, what is wrong? Like, it's a hammer. Like, hit the thing. It's massive. How did you miss it? Then about halfway through, we realized as we started peeling layers back that, like all ink cartridges are, like you take that out, there's always loose ink in there. Now there's ink on the carpet. I'm like, oh my word, man. Okay, stop. I gotta keep my job. Everybody out of here. And so when I think about that story, though, and I think about our lives, like we try and do all the right things. We think, okay, I got my life in order now. We think, hunky dory. And that stuff just happens, though. And no matter how much you want to protect yourself and guard yourself, at some point, things are going to happen. But where does that point you when things happen, when things get tougher? Where do you go for renewal? Where do you go for forgiveness? Where do you go for... And that's what I'm challenged by. And so I did a funeral just the other day. And at the end of the funeral, I was so blessed to be able to offer the gospel message, salvation message. We had little tracts, little Bibles out, and so I had a little Bible in here, and I said to people, I said, hey, you know, if you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus, like, there's some resources there you can take. And so, man, I was so encouraged by this. And so, you know, we go through the funeral, and everyone's going, I'm just tidying up and putting the chairs away, saying goodbye to people, and this guy, you know, people do this, right? They're super intentional. Yeah, he was sharp dressed to me. He looked like, I was like, this guy's got his life together. He's doing okay. Comes over to me. He's like, got one of those Bibles right here, you know? And I might open it one day. I just like, that's why we do what we do, man. If that's our target, if that's our goal, to see people come to Christ, then I think we're going to do okay. If we start putting any other idol in the front of that, we start busying up our lives, and, you know, we went through restriction time. We kind of got this new routine of life, and I think we've slipped away from some of these basic, ground-moving, foundational things that we need to never forget. That's why we're here. Let's never get so big. Oh, we're so big. We can't even think about that. We're going to worry about parking spots versus, you know, the gospel. the gospel. I'm praying in Jesus' name. That guy opens that one day. And in the back of that is the salvation prayer. And he gives his life to Christ. That would make life worth living. I don't want to just be busy. I don't want to just go through the motions. At the end of my day, I look back and go, you know, I want to see people get saved, like healed in Jesus' name. I left the world of sin and stupidness and foolishness. What did I leave for? What did I come to? I came to a place where I want to be able to help people. There's somebody in our church right now. Now we're online and it's live and this is going to get super awkward and our sound guys and everyone's going to have a fun. The camera's not even going the right direction. Look at that thing right there. Super giant print. The largest print size available in the NIV. I had somebody the other day talking to me. They were witnessing to a person and they just said, hey, you know, just look at my Bible and let's share it together. And then all of a sudden the person just took the Bible. And this person said to me, you know, I could use a new Bible because I lost my Bible. You know who that person is? He's a 99-year-old man in our church. And he's still witnessing to people because that's where his heart's at. That's the heart of this church. Now, Len, I see you sitting there. Now, you're the son, but where is your father? He's over here somewhere. Where did he go? He went out there. No, he can't go out there. Len, can you come receive this just on behalf of your dad? Because your dad is an amazing man of God, and he's, you know, witnessing till his last breath. Like, what a blessing, eh? So I'll give you a hug like I would give him a hug. So God bless you. You got good genes in you. Good blood, eh? Yeah, wow. So I was moved to tears as Wally's just sharing to me. We're at the men's fellowship on Tuesday. We're having some coffee and lunch together. And Wally's just witnessing that. They're just sharing the story. I was just witnessing to this person the other day, and they took my Bible. But that's a good thing, eh? You know, he's like, I could use a new Bible. I'm thinking, like, I'm going to get that guy a new Bible. I don't care, man. How awesome is that? So I pray in Jesus' name that we would be like-minded like that. Like, I want to be careful. Like, this is my Bible. Oh, I love you. Yum, yum. So sweet. Barely held together by tape, all kind of stuff. Like, if somebody needs this Bible, I won't give it to them. Because it's more important than my comfort and my need for this. Somebody else needs it. Carry one of these around. Witness to people. People are starving for the message. They're starving for the gospel. People are longing and desiring for us. That's why the prophetic word was given. The last song we sung, Send Me. There's just this moving in the spiritual realm, I believe, in our church. Use us, God. Use each one of us, God, in Jesus' name. What a powerful thought, eh? Thank you, God, for the simplicity of the message of the gospel. Share it with somebody else. Somebody else needs to hear it. Somebody shared it with you. Let's share it with other people this Christmas season. How can we do that practically? There's an insert. There, you know, you got the invite for tonight, the ministerials event, 7 o'clock here. The focus is about all the churches coming together in terrace, worshiping Jesus together. That's a super wonderful thing to do. Do that. Christmas Eve service is a wonderful time where there's a lot of performances, you know, classy, 5-star rating. You know, this is going to be amazing. The gospel message is going to be presented there. Witness to somebody. Invite somebody. You just never know what would happen. So let's be bold this Christmas season. Let's give the greatest gift that we can give. Let's give Jesus to people. Amen? Amen. Okay. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you so much for just all of the wonderful stories that I keep hearing about people sharing the gospel and witnessing to people about Jesus Christ. Thank you for sending your son. Thank you for the word of God that we have to encourage us, enlighten us, spur us on. Send us in the right direction. Father, as a church, that's really the desire in my heart right now. As a church, what are we doing for the kingdom? Lord, that challenges me to the core of my being. What am I doing for the kingdom's sake? Lord, if I stripped it all away, all my stuff and busyness and things that I do, what am I ultimately doing for the sake of Jesus Christ? Father, speak to me clearly what you want me, us, and this church to do. God, that's the desire of our heart. We don't want to fill up a calendar. We want to fill it up with Jesus. We want people to get saved and set free. Each one of us are here probably this morning because we've experienced that personally. We want others to experience that as well. Help us to do that well in Jesus' name. Amen.